Welcome to the Public Handicapper Podcast. On this week's pod, we are handicapping the last six stakes from Gulfstream Park on Saturday, March 28th. This is show number 57, March 27th, 2020. I'm Scott Carson, founder of Public Handicapper, and I'm joined by my co-host, Hall of Fame handicapper, Chris Larmy. Chris, how's it going over there in Washington?
We're still doing our best. Things seem to be settling down a little bit. Everything's locked down. And, we're just waiting. Hopefully this stuff will die down over time and we can get back to normal. That's the hope.
Yeah. I've been working on the next incarnation of Public Handicapper. And I've been sitting in front of a computer for a couple of months now. So it hasn't really changed my life that much, except that I noticed all my neighbors are doing a lot more yard work because they're stuck at home. So we won't be affected as badly as some other places.
Yeah, it's the same here. Been working in the yard. I'm really lucky because I have a job where I can telework and I have my family nearby. So most of my free time is spent with my family anyway, and I can still see my grandsons and my kids and, get to my favorite hobby is, playing the races. And so far we've been able to continue to do that. So I'm nowhere near, suffering in any sort of way. I know a lot of people are, so I just consider myself really lucky and just hopefully I can do what I can do to help get through this, and in a few months things will be pretty much back to normal, or at least some sort of new normal.
Okay. Well, we do have a light that we can enjoy, and that is racing at Gulfstream Park tomorrow, which is Florida Derby Day at Gulfstream. And it's a tremendous roster of stakes races. We're going to cover the 9th through the 14th. We'll start with the 9th. It's the Sand Springs Stakes, a mile on the turf, purse of $100,000 for fillies and mares, four-year-old and up. What did you think here, Chris?
Well, I did want to mention this is the start of the Pick 6, which is supposed to have a mandatory payout on Saturday. If nobody hits it today, it could be a pretty big pool, and it will definitely be a challenge to hit. So we hopefully can get it started in this race. The obvious horse that everyone will be focused on is number 5, Newspaper of Record, who's making her return to the races. She was brilliant as a 2-year-old, didn't really pan out as a 3-year-old, seemed to have some real mental issues. She seems to be a head case. I'm actually surprised that they didn't just send her to the breeding shed and they kept her in training for a year. Typically this sort of a horse that's already valuable and presenting some problems from a training standpoint would get retired and sent to the breeding farm. But the fact that she does come back tells you maybe they figured her out, and given her talent, she could just crush this field. But given her history of issues, I don't think you should be too scared off. So I'm willing to take a shot against her. One note, Javier Castellano had tested positive for the coronavirus and he will not be riding. I do not know who the replacement rider will be. I know there's no IRAD or Jose Ortiz to fill in for Chad Brown. So it'll be interesting to see who gets the mount for this horse, who clearly is a challenge to ride, even for the top riders. So that's another reason why you might be willing to take a shot against her.
Here's just to add, while you're talking about newspaper of record, she's 3-for-3 on yielding courses, and she's 0-for-3 on good to firm courses. So, you know, she's going to get a firm course tomorrow. So if she's the favorite, she's an underlay.
Not only a firm course, she's going to get the Gulfstream DERF. So it's about as firm as it can get, especially this late in the meet. So that's another good point. That might be a coincidence of, you know, her 2-year-old versus a 3-year-old year, but it might be an absolute factor in the way she's performed as a 3-year-old. So good point. So all those reasons, she could get beat or she could crush the field. She's one of these horses where you probably either ought to single her or just toss her if you're playing horizontals. And the obvious horse to beat her, I think, is the 2-horse Zafel, I think is how you'd pronounce that. And she draws the 2-post and gets Joel Rosario, a good rider switch. She's, you know, clearly to me the horse to beat after newspaper record. Should get a good trip. We'll be finishing strong. 9-2, if you got that, is probably decent value. You may not. She may get heavily bet as a second choice. It kind of depends on the way they play newspaper of record. There's after that, it's pretty wide open. And there's a few other horses I'm considering, but I will let you talk, Scott, because I don't want to steal any of your picks before you get a chance.
Okay, well, I actually forgot about this race. And even though I looked at all the horses, I hadn't decided on my winner, but I will decide on my winner right now. That is the 6, La Signare. And that's the way Pete Aiello pronounced it last race. So she is a little bit slower than these horses. But I think for that reason, she's going to be a really nice price, higher than the 8-1 that she is in the morning line, I think. She just ran a small top, and it was slightly her best race. On Bayer, it doesn't show as a top, but it shows as pretty close to her top. The most important thing is, you know, Bayer doesn't include ground loss, so, or weight. So anyway, I'm going to trust the numbers that I'm looking at, which say that she just ran a small new top. And it just so happened that I was watching looking at a different horse for a different race. And I said, hey, who was that horse that 8 that just galloped out past her after she won the race? And it turned out to be La Signare. She is a little bit slower, but here's the thing. She ran fast as a young three-year-old, and she just, nothing happened. She ran 3 races. She ran pretty solid. It looks like she had a stakes win, a grade 3 stakes win. And then she ran a bad race and then was off for half a year. And she ran a couple of okay races at Gulfstream. Numbers-wise, they were okay, even though she finished 6th in both of them. And then she took more time off, and the bottom line is that now she's 3rd off a layoff, and her 2nd race was her best race ever. Just a slight improvement over her young three-year-old year. So to me, this is a pure, like, hey, jam at home, because she's going to run the race of her life. And she's the only one that I feel pretty strongly about in this race.
Yeah, she definitely is one of many, I think, that fit in here. I don't want to spend a lot more of time on this race, but the 2 horses at big prices, I think, have a shot are the 3 Super Escape and 4 Smart Shot. They're both 20-1. They both drew inside posts. I probably like Super Escape a little more because it has a better rider, and I'm just going to toss that last race. They didn't really, I'm not sure what happened, but the rider didn't even try down the stretch. But they gave her some time off and bring her back for this race. And she has some races that definitely could fit in here, and she has some upside, and she's only a four-year-old. This will be her first start as a four-year-old. So if Newspaper of Record doesn't fire and Zafel doesn't run her race, I think Super Escape has as good a chance as anybody. And Smart Shot, the four horse, don't like quite as much because I'm not real fond of the rider. But this is another horse that's pretty consistent, and the best race is fit. So at 20-1 with a good post, there's no reason why it couldn't at least hit the board. I'm not real big on betting this race, but if I decide to, it'll probably be Toss, Newspaper of Record, who may burn me. Key Zafel as the kind of standout after Newspaper of Record, and then use Super Escape, the three, and Smart Shot, the four, and maybe your six horse as well underneath Zafel, in hope you can get Newspaper of Record out of the Exacta, which is probably hoping to some extent, but we'll have to wait and see.
It's interesting. Mike Welsh, who's one of the guys who does the workout observations for DRF and works on the workout report, he picks Zafel to win this race and has Newspaper of Record in second. So it's interesting that, I haven't seen the workout report. It hasn't come out yet. But I was going to caveat saying that if the workout report is amazing, then you have to include Newspaper of Record if you're tackling the pick six. But I'm assuming that it's not a glittering workout report because, he doesn't pick her on top. So if she was getting raves, they would be talking and he would be picking the horse. So I think you can toss her. The other two horses that I would use are Zafel. I agree with you. And also Get Mother a Rose is the fastest horse in the race. And she comes off a win where she reacted. She didn't even run as fast as she can run, and she still won the race. So I would use those two plus La Signore. And we'll move right on to the 10th race, since I know you weren't that excited about that race. And the next race is the Orchid Stakes, 1 3/8 on turf, purse of 100,000 for fillies and mares, four-year-olds and up. I'll start this one. It looks like there's no pace in this race at all, which means that Mean Mary has a really big edge. And she won her last race and she looked really good doing it, but she rode a major racingflow.com speed flow. And it was also a race that had no pace. So I think she's vulnerable, but at the same time, you probably have to use her because there's very little pace in this race. Now, Elizabeth Way is all the way on the outside, and she won her last one on the lead. She came from outside and she won. And I think that she's got a really good shot here because of that. But it looks like those two up front. The horse that I'm going to go with on top is Quick Witted. She's run fast enough to win. If you look back at in the past performances at Laurel in 2018 in the summer, she ran a couple of big races. And she's second off a layoff. And her first off a layoff, they shipped her from Tampa all the way to Fairgrounds. She finished third to She's on the Warpath, who went on to win again last weekend. And now she's second off a layoff. And I haven't had a chance to look at the race yet, but she was on the inside. She closed from 14th to third. And she did that all shipping to Fairgrounds. And now she only has to ship from Tampa to Gulfstream. It's a few hours. So at a price, she's my top play in the race. And then I would also use Elizabeth Way because we don't know what kind of upside this horse has. And interesting that the sheets now, they include weight. If there's reported weight, which Stronach tracks report, then they report it. And you can see it. I like it. I like seeing that a horse lost 40 pounds here, gained weight there. anyway, she won her maiden race and then she gained more weight and she looked like she could just keep on running all day in her last race. I think she's probably higher than the 9-2 morning line. It's tricky because she's carrying 124 and she starts the race right on the turn. So she's going to lose some ground, even though she probably get up for, you know, to get into second. I just don't know how long it's going to take her to get there. So that would affect her. So anyway, those are my two horses. Quick-witted being my top play, Elizabeth Way also being an include, and I'll throw it back to you.
Well, lots of things to respond to just off of what you said. First of all, just kind of going from back to front, Elizabeth Way, really well bred. She's by Frankel, you know, the super horse out of a Giant's Causeway mare. So this is a mile and 3/8 race, and she was running longer distances in Europe. So I think she could improve with the distance. In terms of Mean Mary and getting an easy lead in here like she did last time, you have to be a little careful because in these turf routes, it doesn't take much. Just about any horse, if the rider wants to, can run pretty fast for the opening quarter or half for this distance. And when you have Paco Lopez on Elizabeth Way in the 12 post starting on the turn, almost guaranteed he's going to send that horse. So I don't think Mean Mary is going to get away with, you know, leisurely fractions up front. You also have a couple other riders like on the 8-horse, Bo Bell, Dylan Davis has some speed from that outside post. He may send. Even Joel Rosario on the 7 could send. So I don't think Mean Mary is going to get the same kind of trip she did last time. And just from a number standpoint, she's not any faster than these. So I'm willing to try to beat her, especially carrying 124 pounds. I just think she's vulnerable as the favorite. I do kind of like Elizabeth Way, but I do think they're going to have to use her some early, and that will be, you know, not necessarily work in her favor. And then finally, Quick-Witted, who's my probably second choice in here because he'll be such a big price, or she'll be such a big price. The only reason I didn't, well, there's two reasons I didn't pick her on top. One is I really like the other horse, another horse in here. But also the other reason is it looks like that's a horse that really likes giving the ground. Her two best races, her best race as a three-year-old by far was on yielding. Her best race as a four-year-old by far was on yielding. So I'm just wondering if the turf course at Gulfstream is going to suit her. But at the price, it's worth finding out. Also, she has a change in barns to a pretty sneaky good trainer. And this is only her second start for him and second off the layoff. So to me, Quick-Witted is a live long shot, but I'm a little afraid she might not like the surface. So that leads me to the horse that I really, really like in here. It's a horse that we've been listening to the pod. If you've been listening, you know,
I knew this was coming.
Yeah, it's the 2-horse Kelsey's Cross. And I've put large wagers on her twice in a row. And she's had some real head scratching rides. I thought she was really sitting on a big race, 2 back. And this is a horse who had her first 4 starts were all, you know, stalking within a few lengths of the lead and finishing. Never been off the board until something went wrong right before her layoff. And then for some reason, 2 races back, her rider, who I've never been a fan of, just was hell-bent to send her and just opened up like 3 lengths on the field in a ridiculous pace. So she had no chance. That was at 40-1 on a live horse. And that was at the NHC, actually, which would have been nice if I had gotten a little better ride there. And then the next time out, they changed riders, so I doubled down at 20-1. And Ferran Giraud just grabs her and takes her dead last, hopelessly far back, and then lets her roll when she had no chance, and she passes most everybody and runs 3rd. So now she goes, and hopefully Giraud stays on, and hopefully this time they'll just give her, let her run her normal race, don't grab her, don't send her, just let her break alertly, stalk and finish. And from a good post, there's no reason why this horse can't win. Unfortunately, she did run third last time, and that probably I won't get 40 to 1 or 20 to 1. She's 10 to 1 on the morning line. Don't know if I'll get that. But to me, you know, Kelsey's Cross is an absolute must play for me. I hope even if she wins, I'll probably still make money, but she owes me some money, or I need to get some money back on the last two races on this horse, and I'm hoping to get it back here. So I'm really high on this two horse Kelsey's Cross.
She looks, you know, I have a little hard time getting past the breeding. A mile and a half for a mare that's out of Trippy. And I don't know. I have a hard time seeing it. Her worst race, well, actually, her worst race was February 8th. That was like her worst race when they put her on the lead and she ran a bad race. She ran a good number on January 25th when she ran at a mile and a half against Mean Mary. So I don't know. I'll see if I can squeeze her into my pick six tickets. I know that I know that you like the horse a lot, and I give that some credibility. So I'll try to squeeze her in. I don't know if I'll be able to, but I will definitely be tackling the mandatory payout pick six, because at a 20-cent minimum, it's a good bet when they're paying out mandatory.
Yeah, it's good. Just one, just a little thing. That race that you said was her bad race, she actually ran a really good race. It's just she had a horrible ride. I mean, she went flying and there's no way you're going to keep that pace up for the entire race. So, you know, I mean, her finish wasn't good, but the effort was good. I'll put it that way. I mean, it wasn't like she ran a clunk or anything. She just had a terrible ride. She actually ran pretty hard and pretty fast.
Well, that's a good point. I mean, she ran, really fast pace numbers. And they keep on trying her at this distance, so they must see something that I don't. And just because the dam is out of Trippy, that really doesn't mean that means something, but it doesn't mean everything. So,
yeah, I mean, they've never sprinted her. Even her debut was going two turns. So, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't let that. And plus, on her sire, Anthony's Cross is all route. So. We'll see. I mean, yeah, none of these horses are probably really meant to get a mile and a half, and are very few of them in the U.S. So we'll see. I just think she's a great play. I'm just hoping she doesn't get bet. I'm afraid that she'll win this time and they'll bet her down to 4 to 1 or something. So we'll see.
Yeah, it's it's a tough race. So you may have to go a little deeper in this race. That's fine. Well, let's see if we got anything easier in the 11th at Gulfstream. It's the Gulfstream Park Oaks, a mile and a 16th on dirt, a purse of $200,000 for three-year-old fillies. And it's your turn on the odd races today, so why don't you get us started?
Okay, I'm not really too high on this race. I think it looks pretty chalky. I thought Spice is Nice was really very likely winner last time. Somehow she got beat. I think she can turn the tables on Toneless Shape. There's a few others in here that have a chance, but to me, Spice is Nice was, you know, 2 to 5 last time. Maybe you get 5 to 2 this time. And to me, she's clearly the one to beat. I don't have any real good live bombs in here, so maybe you do. There's a few other contenders, but I'll turn it over to you.
Okay. Well, my top pick in the race is Lucrezia. She ran a big race in her last. She showed enough early speed to be sharp, but she wasn't on the lead. She was like a half length behind the leader, and she was on the inside of that leader, which I think is key, because some horses, they can't run that inside. They can run on the inside, but only if they're on the lead. And if they're shadowed by a horse that's like infringing on their space, it will discourage them. That is not what happened with Lucrezia in her last race. She was sharp, but she was okay with being rated like that. And the jockey at some point had to pull her back and go around the horse that was leading. When he did that, she rolled. So she proved that she could sit. She proved two races ago that she could sit off a hot pace. But she also proved that she's very tactical. And I liked everything about the race, having seen it. And she earned a number that, while she'll have to improve to win the race, I think that she can't. She hasn't proven that she can't. In other words, she's improved every race on dirt. And with a little bit more improvement, the expectation is that she'll continue to improve, because she hasn't improved a dramatic amount. And that was her first race going two turns. I think she can upset this field at a price. Now, as far as Spice Is Nice, if there's one horse that I'm least interested in right now, pending the workout report, it is Spice Is Nice. She ran a huge race, her first race, and now that I have the weights, I see that she lost 30 pounds from like that first race to her second race. And there's not enough data to be able to follow this, but I'm thinking that that race took something out of her. Now, she still has plenty of time, even since her last race, to gain that weight back, and also just to recover and run as fast as she did. And if she does, she's going to be hard to beat. But at the same time, it was such a big race, and it was her first race, that I think it could be a reason to bet against her. So I'm not as excited about Spice Is Nice. Tonal Shape is going to be the favorite, so you might get an okay price on Spice Is Nice. I'll just mention one other horse that I'm very interested in, who will be prominent, and I'm talking about in pick ends, and maybe even a win bet, and that is Dream Marie. Based on the weight, and also having seen the weight, and then also watching her last race, she's a pretty big, robust filly. She's by Gradar, out of a Curlin mare. And she's improved every dirt race that she's run. And she looked good in her last race. She was third to Tonal Shape and Spice Is Nice. I was wondering, you know, I watched the race because I was like, is this jockey, is he going to muck it up? And he actually ran a very good race. He started on the inside. She was up close because the pace was slow, even though she likes to come from off the pace. And he's just kind of eased her out slowly so that she could make a good run at the end. And she did make a solid run, but she couldn't catch the two faster horses. But now she's working out even faster than she had ever. She ran two great 5-furlong workouts, her fastest ever. They're at Calder, Gulfstream Park West, so nobody else is seeing these. And I don't know. I think she's just she's maturing, and now's the time to include her. And I'm really tempted to put her on top. I'm just a little bit worried about the jockey having to navigate all of this, all of the potential traffic. Now, the one thing that I want to add is that there is a fast pace expected in this race, so that's going to give Dream Marie an edge, and I think Lucrezia as well. So I'll throw it back to you.
Where are you getting the weight data?
If you're looking at the sheets, if it was a Stronach track, it's in the past performance line in the upper left-hand corner.
Okay, I'll have to look for that. That's interesting. I'm not quite sure what to make of it, but I'll take a look at that. The Lucrezia and Dream Marie are two of the other three contenders that I had mentioned. The other one of the three who I think is probably the most dangerous is the 4 Lake Avenue, who is really well bred for distance races by Tappet out of a streetcar cry mare who's produced a fast horse already by Bernardini, trained by Bill Mott, ridden by Joel Rosario. First route race was awesome, and then came back off a layoff, broke poorly, ran a clunker. But now they bring her back here. They look like they really wanted to get a race in her. They're tossing that last race. Didn't really take much out of her. Shipped her down to Florida so they could get in this race now that New York's closed down, and probably Florida will be closed down after Saturday. So they seem real anxious to run her. She's got a lot of talent. It could be a fast pace, but I don't see anybody in here that can match her early. I don't see, I mean, Lucrezia, I think, can track her, but I think that Lake Avenue should get the lead and could be really dangerous on the front end. So I don't know what price you'll get on that horse because she ran such a clunker. Maybe you get a price in her. She's 9-2 on the morning line. But Spice is Nice is 3-1. Probably both of those are too high. Unless they really pound Tonal Shape, which I guess could happen, but I'm not really interested in this race. But to me, Spice is Nice and Lake Avenue, those are the two that I think are most likely to win one of those two.
Yeah, there's a few no hopers in here that just won on the lead, so I think they're going to be part of the pace. And that's where I come up with that. And I believe Timeform agrees with me, even though it's an automated thing. The one question I want to ask you, since a lot of people will be thinking about the pick five and maybe even the pick six as they're listening to this race, do you include Tonalist Shape in your opinion?
I wouldn't include it as an A horse. So, but if you put it, if you think the horse is, you know, I think she could win. She'll be an underlay. So yeah, you can include her. I just wouldn't make her an A horse, depending on how you do it. If you're doing just a caveman ticket, if you don't like her that much, I'd leave her out. If you do, then yeah, include her. But if I would include her at all, it'll be in one of my secondary tickets that just a smaller ticket. She won't be my main horse. In this race, I will probably just play Spice is Nice with some Lake Avenue. Those are really the only two I probably will use in here in the pick six. Right, toss in Tonalist Shape.
I would say that you need to include Tonalist Shape. She could potentially run her best race ever this race. So she's 5-for-5. And maybe Spice is Nice will keep her a halfway decent price. On Lake Avenue, just as a counterpoint, for people that are interested in this, and you know, they're not always right, the Racing Flow numbers, but Racing Flow has her race as a speed favoring, where she rode a speed favoring flow. It wasn't a crazy speed favoring flow, but it was a speed favoring flow. So that cools me off a little bit to her, but we'll see. I mean, she might be a use. She certainly fits on numbers. And you're right. The dam is an amazing dam. So,
and that was a speed favoring track, her big route race. That was a mile and an eighth. So she's been the distance, or actually been longer. But she had galloped at 7 furlongs before that, and that wasn't on a speed bias track. So, you know, she's clearly got a lot of talent. In here. That was one other thing I was going to mention. On Tonalist Shape. The other thing that the negatives on her are the post. It's a very short run to that first turn at 1 16th, the Gulfstream. And the trainer, I think, just at all his horses, you've got to be a little leery of can they reproduce the kind of form they were producing before the FBI indictment. So, you know, those are two negatives on that horse. So I'm willing to downgrade that one, especially as a favorite.
Yeah, it's a tricky race for me, and we'll see what I have to. I'm not going to invest a ton of money into the pick six, so we'll see. I may have to lose her. I think New York Traffic ran pretty well in the Louisiana Derby last week. Don't quote me on that, but I think he might have finished in the top three.
Did rent. Finished second. It cost me a lot of money because I had first, third, and fourth nailed in that race. And I tossed it for the same reason. and it burned me. So yeah, that,
yeah.
That,
so I mean, that came out after the indictments as well. So while I understand the nervousness about whether these horses can stay up, we don't know. We just don't know. And, you know, and it would be a shame to see, you know, a 5-digit pick six play go down if just because you tossed a horse because of, you know, the potential that she might have been using some kind of performance enhancing drugs. So anyway, I mean, that's a discussion for a different pod, but I think I'm ready to go to the next race. Are you?
You bet.
Okay. Well, the next race is the 12th. It's the Pan American Stakes, 1.5 miles on turf, purse of 200,000 for 4-year-olds and up. It's my turn this time, and I'm going to steal your thunder because I know that you are all about Channel Cat, and you always have been, and as well you should. He runs a solid number every time. The one race that he had that was bad was his last race, which had some circumstantial circumstances that were against him. The first is that he jumped up. He hopped a little bit at the start, and he was part of the problem in that major pileup with Sadler's Joy. It doesn't matter whether it was his fault or not. It certainly affected him. And he was ranked the entire beginning of the stretch, all the way, you know, into the first turn. He was ranked, and he had to be taken up at some point. So I think you can toss that race. He was also off Lasix, and that's as good an excuse as any, even though that may not have been the reason, because the trouble could have been the reason. He runs a solid number every time. Now, I also think he's probably going to run on the lead. I don't know why they haven't been running him on the lead for the last several races, and I'm sure I'm taking your thunder there too. Well, I'm making a lot of assumptions about your pick, so I'll throw it back to you.
Well, I mean, the assumptions were well founded. Just a couple other things. That also, he's 1.5 miles horse, and that last race was too short for him. That was one of the reasons I was a little leery of him anyway. And he just got a horrible ride from Johnny Velasquez, who I'm not a big fan of him on the turf, but he didn't break him very well. Maybe that wasn't his fault. I thought it mostly was his. And then he grabbed the horse and it got rank and he went wide. It's just a horrible trip. No Lasix, wrong distance. His only bad race he's run in his life, just about. And now he draws the rail and he gets Rosario, who I think is much better. And like you said, his best races have been when he's forwardly placed, and there's not a lot of pace in here, and they're going 1.5 miles. So I don't know if he'll be on the lead, but I can guarantee you he's not going to get grabbed and screwed up. You're not going to screw around with him early. He's going to put him in a good position. So, and you know, they're going to hammer Zulu Alpha, who's a nice horse, but Zulu Alpha is really not better than Channel Cat. And he just ran his monster race as a 7-year-old coming back pretty quickly from that race. He's going to regress. It's just a question of how much. I'm not saying he won't run well, but I definitely think from the 9-hole, carrying top weight off of that big race, you know, you can beat Zulu Alpha in here. And this, he'll probably be the heaviest favorite on the card. And this is, you know, where you can get some equity in the pick sixes and pick fives and pick fours. So to me, Channel Cat is really a great play in here. My only concern is he's going to be a clear second choice. So I'm not sure how much value you'll get. It just depends on how much they bet Zulu Alpha. But there is another live long shot in here who you could also use that might create big value, and that's the 3-horse Spooky Channel, who just is a genuine, you know, 1.5 miles horse. In fact, he's the kind of horse that probably would like going 2 miles. He's by English Channel out of the Kitten's Joy Mare, and he was running at Turf Paradise in Canterbury, so he didn't get a lot of respect, but he ran well. And then they shipped him to Gulfstream. Off the bench, he needed a race, but his second off the layoff against good company, he won at a big price, going a mile and a half. That last race he ran was not bad. He was kind of wide. He did make a move. He probably was a little too close to that runoff leader. And took a little starch out of his kick. And that was the day that Zulu Alpha really freaked. So to me, you know, he runs back to his race two back and gets a trip. There's no reason why he couldn't pull an upset, and he's 20-1 in the morning line. So, you know, both of those horses make a lot of sense to me in this race.
Yeah, he's my second pick. In fact, I may live to regret this because I wrote down on my iPad, I wrote winner under Spooky Channel, but then I switched to Channel Cat. Just because, he only has one number that's fast enough to win this race, and Channel Cat has a few races that I think are fast enough to win. But absolutely, in pick ends, it's Channel Cat and Spooky Channel all the way. And while Spooky Channel was having an off race in his last race against Zulu Alpha, Zulu Alpha was running his brains out, which he had to do to beat Admission Office, which we were both on that day. So I love Zulu Alpha. The great thing about him is that he's been super fast, but he's never like just run his eyeballs out. Well, his last race, he ran his eyeballs out. So I think he is probably worth playing against. I don't know if I'll have the cojones to exclude him completely from pick ends, but I will say that I won't have Zulu Alpha and Tonalist Shape on the same ticket. So there may be a way with the old AB methodology to work him in.
Yeah. In fact, that might not be a bad way to play it. You're going to play it, but you have to beat one of those two. You don't necessarily have to beat them both, but don't play a ticket, play a ticket where you beat one, play a ticket where you beat the other. And then play a ticket where you beat them both. If you want to, but I mean, that way, as long as they don't both, if they both win, you lose, right? But if you can beat one of them, you get some value out of it. And that's not a bad way to play those pick-ins when there's two pretty heavy favorites that you think are vulnerable. You don't necessarily have to beat them both. You only have to beat one of them. So if you play your ticket smart, you don't just play it caveman. That's not a bad way to play it. I do think Zulu Alpha is strong, much stronger than,
Tonalist Shape.
Yeah. I think, Tonalist Shape's not even the most likely winner, where you still probably could say, I'd say it's probably a toss up between Zulu Alpha and Channel Cat is the most likely winner in this race. Right. Yeah, I mean, that's a good strategy though on the plays. If you can beat one strong favorite, you don't necessarily have to beat them all. You just got to beat one to get some value. That's not a bad way to play it.
And for purposes of pod touting, which one of the two horses that you like do you like the best?
Well, my pick will be Channel Cat for the pod. When I get comes down to the betting, I'll definitely be betting Spooky Channel because I know I'll get a price on him. I don't know. I probably won't have a win bet on Channel Cat unless he actually goes off at 9-2 or 5-1, which I don't think is going to happen. But he's definitely my pick. He's the one I have on most of my tickets in the pick six or pick five or pick four.
Yeah. I mean, Zulu Alpha, ran against what was probably an even better field than this in his last race. And he was still even money. So he could be 2-5 in this field. And that's why Channel Cat will probably go off a decent price.
Yeah. Let's hope.
We'll move to the 13th race at Gulfstream, the Appleton Stakes. It's a mile on the turf for four-year-olds and up, purse of $100,000. And it's an odd-numbered race, so Chris, why don't you start?
Well, this race is it's a tough race, really challenging. But I think the key in here is the favorite, Somvaye, has high weight, the 10 post, and he's slow. And he's 7-2 on the morning line. And he was just tripped out last time, and he's an absolute bet against. Toss him out and get some value. So that's a starting point, is toss out 10 Sambaye. And then there's quite a few horses in here that are pretty close. But to me, the trip is everything in these races. So I like to go with inside horses with good riders. And for me, that's the there's two horses that kind of stand out. That'll be a price, hopefully. One is English B and two is Hembry or Embry. And I like both of those horses. I might like the two a little more than the one, just because Joel Rosario, to me, is the best rider on the turf now that Irad's not riding. In fact, I've been on Rosario in a lot of these races we talked about today, so hopefully I'll have a good day. I think his horse is rounding into form, third off a layoff. His best race is fit. Think he'll get a good trip. He's trained by Mike Maker. Gets in relatively light. Just a lot to like. English B has more upside. Ran much better than it looked last time with a really wide trip. Gets the rail this time with Manny Franco, who's another underrated turf rider that likes to save ground. So you get a horse that went super wide last time to a horse that might get a rail trip this time. There's a lot to like there. The problem is horse may get bet because it finished a close second last time. So off of that finish, it might get bet down some. But those are the two that I like in here, the one English B and the two Embry. I'm going to toss the 10 Sambaye. There's several other contenders in here, but I don't want to talk about them all. I want to give you a chance, so I'll turn it over to you.
Okay. Well, the horse that I like on top is Bala Rocks. The horse has back numbers, and this is his third off a layoff. Now, he finished, I think it was second in the Shadwell Mile in the fall of like 2017, and that was his biggest number. Now, he's had some issues, and he's only raced a few times since then. But this is encouraging in that it's his third race off a layoff, which he hasn't had three races in a row since 2017. He's 3-for-4 at Gulfstream. He has the back numbers, and he improved a little bit from race one this year to race two, which to me is a pretty playable angle. And that is, when a horse is third off a layoff, has back numbers, and runs two races that are just slightly slower. The first race is a little fast, slower than the All right, let me start that again. The second race off a layoff is a little bit faster than the first race. Then they're probably going to run the best race of the year in their third race off the layoff. That's the angle that I'm playing in this case. And if he can run his best race ever, then his best race ever is certainly fast enough to win this race. Now, he's not a win machine, but he is 3-for-4 at Gulfstream. He has a bullet workout since that race. The one negative, and I'm not gonna let this take me off him, but the one negative that I will say is that he seemed to die on the gallop out after his last race. So that would be the only caveat that I have with him. But I think he's going to be higher than the 6-to-1 morning line. I just kind of don't see it. He was 2-to-1 against an optional claiming field in his last race. I don't know. But maybe he is 6-to-1. He's still a pretty solid bet at 6-to-1.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, he has the back class, but boy, is he an ouchy horse for a turf router, which are typically the soundest horses. Two starts as a 5-year-old, one as a 6-year-old, two as a 7-year-old. But you're right. I mean, this is the first time he's making a third start in 3 years in a grouping. And so, you know, maybe they were able to keep him sound long enough to get him fit for a good effort in here. That, you know, he's interesting, and he's still a horse as a 7-year-old with all these physical problems. I guess, you know, he's probably not worth a whole lot as a stallion, but he has decent breeding and he's won some stakes. So
yeah, he didn't actually win. He won the Poker Stakes, which is a group three, grade three. He was third in the Shadwell Mile. So, and then he was also second in the Maker's Mark Mile.
Yeah. So, you know, looking at his line, you would think he would be a big price, but he's 6-1 in the morning line. I just might be wrong. 6-1 doesn't get me excited, but you look at this horse and you would think he'll be above 6-1. We'll see. I see what you like in that horse. That's definitely a contender. I mean, the 3-horse March to the Arch is pretty obvious too. I don't think the horse is going to be 8-1. And that horse gets bet every time he runs. You know, his last starts have been 3-1, 3-1. So, but if he were 8-1, you know, he's got as good a chance as anybody. He drew an inside post with a good rider, good trainer, good recent workouts, third off a layoff, had some trouble in his first two, you know, so that horse definitely fits right in there. Those inside 4 horses all look pretty tough. In here, definitely better than a 10, you know, to me, much better than the 10. There's a couple more in here. I don't know if we want to keep talking, you know, that are contenders. It's a pretty wide open race, but you know, those inside 4, I think you could get by with those in your pick ins. Probably the most speculative of the 4 is the Bala Rocks, but like you said, he's interesting. And I think his morning line is probably off and he will go above 6-1. I think.
Yeah, I would agree with you on March to the Arch. I wrote down March to the Arch, a total use at 8-1, but he's probably going to be more like 4-1. He does get bet usually. But I would include him, and I would also include Hembree. I don't like English B as much just because he ran a gigantic race in his last race. And it was a big top. And I'm sort of inclined to bet against it. But at the same time, if he's 8-1 morning line, now for pick end purposes, that might not be a good play because, or, you know, you don't have the opportunity to see how they're betting the horse. So, you know, if we take the 8-1 at face value, then he's probably an include just because he is the fastest horse in the race based on his last race. The fastest, he's run faster than any other horse recently. Let's put it that way, because Bala Rocks officially ran faster than him in 2017.
Yeah, and then there's some others in here that are could be prices that you might want to include. This is kind of one where to me is maybe the biggest spread race of the sequence so far. I mean, I'll just toss out one more. I don't want to throw out too many horses because it makes it sound like we're picking everybody in the race. Because my 2 picks are really, you know, 1, 2, and then 3 is a favorite that goes in there. But the 9 Louder Than Bombs is kind of like English B, an improving horse, still has upside, made a nice move in its last race. The post doesn't help, but it gets in light. That might make up for that. Has a pretty good turf rider. You know, wouldn't be surprised. I don't know so much as a winner, but, you know, hitting the board at a price, the 9 Louder Than Bombs is not impossible.
Yeah, he was one of my horses. It was between him and Bala Rocks. But then I watched his last race. He started from the outside. He dropped back while Guido was winging it on the lead and running a 44 and change half. He got a monster outside run with no traffic whatsoever going around the second turn. And he just didn't have enough to win the race. I mean, with a setup like that, he should have won the race. So it took me off him, and we'll see if that's a bad idea or not.
All right.
The final race of the pod today is the Florida Derby, the 14th race, 1 1/8 on dirt, purse of $750,000 for 3-year-olds. I'll get us started. I'm going to say that I'm a believer on Ette Indiana. He's run as good or better every race on dirt. He has great speed, and I love the way he took command from the outside in his last race. So I don't see him having a problem navigating from that outside post. He'll be a price because Tis the Law is going to get absolutely hammered. And it's interesting because this horse reminds me of Lionheart, who was trained by the same trainer, Patrick Biancone. Lionheart was second in the Kentucky Derby to Smarty Jones. And it seemed like it wasn't that long ago, but it was actually 16 years ago in 2004 that happened. So he was second in the Kentucky Derby and he won the Haskell, and the horse just kept on improving. And I don't see any reason why this horse won't keep on improving. Now, off an 8-length win, he might get a little bit bet, but that's all right. He's certainly not going to get bet more than Tis the Law, who had a really weird trip in his last race. And I wrote that it was an amazing race, but it also turned out to be a very fast race. And even though he's had plenty of time since that race, I think that he's a horse that I'd be very uncomfortable relying on in my pick six and at a low price. So I might just single Ete Indian in pick ends in this race. And then I'll send it over to you.
Wow, there's a bold pick. All right, I like it. Yeah, I mean, last time he drew the outside post in this tough configuration and just went to the front, never looked back. So there's no reason why he couldn't do that again. Although I gotta believe riders like Paco Lopez on the one horse as seen on TV are aware of that and may not let him do that this time. Of course, if they go too fast early themselves, it hurts them. It's sort of that, it puts them in this dilemma on, do they try to put pressure on him and sacrifice or possibly sacrifice their own horse, or do they let him go?
Yeah. So that's also assuming that they think that he's the scariest horse. They may not be worried about him as much as they are about Tis the Law. So, there's a lot of head games in this situation.
Yeah, that's what I mean. They got to be able to hold. They know they got to hold off a horse like Tis the Law late. But at the same time, they don't want to let a horse like Ete Indian, who just galloped in the same similar circumstance last time. So it does put these other riders in a position where they have to decide what they're going to do. I'm probably a lot more positive on Tis the Law than you are. Other than a sloppy track race, he's looked pretty good. And I just don't have any negatives on him, although his last was really fast. And a lot of times these three-year-olds, when they run that fast in January or February or even March, they regress. So he could regress off of that race. So, if he's 3-5 or 4-5, he's no mortal lock by any means. The other really fast horse in here is the 9-horse Independence Hall. And, that horse to me is one who's really going to benefit from the Derby being moved to later in the year, because his race was just way too fast as a 2-year-old. And those horses always take a long time to come back to their best races. It's almost never by Derby time, sometimes never at all. But this year, this is not really a Derby prep anymore. This is just another race. And if they run the Derby in September, this horse could be a monster by September. They give him some time off and then bring him back in the fall. Or late summer, he could be really good. So to me, Independence Hall is a really interesting horse for the future. But right now, he definitely reacted to that effort, and I'm not convinced he's ready to run a good race again in here. I think it might take some time. But if he does run well, he's just like Tis the Law. Either one of those, if they run big, the kind of races they've done before, they can win. But I'm willing to say, okay, Independence Hall and Tis the Law, they're fast, but there's no reason to think they're going to run their big race in here. Ete Indian, yeah, he galloped last time with an easy lead, but I don't think somebody's going to go with him. That's the hope. And so if that happens, then what are you left with? Well, to me, there's two possibilities. One is Ajuwe or Ajuweed. I'm not sure how you say that. But he's the big closer in here who kind of ran a clunker last time, but he really didn't have a great, you know, he just didn't really run much. I'm willing to toss that one out. And his race back in New York was really nice, despite running against the flow of the race. He really closed well. He's got some good breeding by Curlin out of a nice mare. Hasn't really produced anything yet, but she's only had two foals, and she was a good as a runner. She was good. So, you know, he's the kind that could close late and maybe pull the upset at a big price. He's 20 to 1 in the morning line. And then the other horse is kind of the standard Chris 3-year-old upside horse. That's Gouverneur Morris. He's slow coming into this race, but he's making a second start off a layoff. His first one was just about exactly what you'd like to see him run off the bench. You know, he could be sitting on a monster effort. Todd Pletcher in this race, you know, at Gulfstream Park with 3-year-olds has a pretty nice record of horses really running monster races on this day. So I know he's kind of a wise guy horse, and they may bet him down. So if that's true, he's not a play, but if he is 8 or 10 to 1, seems unlikely, but if he was, wouldn't surprise me at all if he runs a big race second off a layoff, because all his races have been pretty good. And, you know, it's pretty clear that they're pointing to this race all along. So he's definitely one you've got to use. But to me, of all the races we talked about, from a betting standpoint, this is probably the toughest one, because kind of the three obvious ones all could win, but there's question marks on them. And my long shots are both kind of speculative. Gouverneur Morris, because he has to improve quite a bit to win, although he could. And Ajuwe, because, you know, he ran so poorly last time, you have to wonder if he's going to be able to bounce back in here.
Yeah, the more I look at the past performances, the more nervous I get about having Ete Indien, because there does seem to be quite a bit of speed in this race. I think he could blitz them like he did in his last race. So I don't know. I will throw out, I did like Gouverneur Morris. I think he would battle for my second choice. I do note that Mike Welsh, who's the workout guy, doesn't even have him in his top three. For whatever that is worth. But there's one other horse that I think is a bomb possibility that I would just mention. And I don't know if I'm going to bet him, but it's a Safi Joseph horse. It's Disc Jockey, who really looks like he should relish going a distance. He's 2 for 3 at Gulfstream. He was 2nd at 3 to 5 in his last race. I didn't see the race. I haven't looked at the race. The horse is working out really well. It's got that breeding Bodemeister out of a Borrego dam, and has a pattern that says, hey, if he improves a little bit, that he can be a factor. So I'll just throw that horse out there. But it's a very tough race. So no strong opinions on this race whatsoever for me.
Yeah, if you were going to play a Safi Joseph horse, that's the kind you want to play, right? That's going to be 30 to 1 as opposed to a favorite, for sure. Because like you said, that horse has some upside. And at 30 to 1, it might be worth a try.
All right. And for pod tout purposes for Twitter, which horse did you like the best of those two long shots that you like?
Probably Gouverneur Morris. I would have to go with him, or however you pronounce that. That's all. It's spelled all kinds of weird ways, so I'm not sure how you say it.
I think that's as good of an attempt as any. Did you have any other opinions on? I have not been able to look at the races the rest of the card, but you've been tweeting about how great you think the card is. Did you have any other spot plays earlier in the card?
Oh yeah. It is a great card. I mean, it's just every single race is fun to handicap. I'm not saying everyone's going to be a good bet, but just from start to finish, there's no bad races. You know, there's no filler races at all. But I'll just give out a couple horses. One is in the seventh race, a stakes race going a mile for 3-year-old fillies. I like number 9 Seducer, who's coming off a layoff, has only had one start, but was really impressive. And it's Christophe Clement, Joel Rosario. It's first time Lasix, really good breeding, really good workouts. Clement is really hot right now. He's won 6 of his last 15 races. And he's really good teaming up with Rosario. The only thing about that is I don't think he'll get 8-1. So maybe if you can play it in multi-bets, where before people see the actual off odds, you might be able to get a little more value than playing the horse in the seventh race. Cause I have a feeling I wouldn't even be shocked if it goes off as the favorite or one of the favorites, but at 8-1, it's a great play. I'm just not sure what you'll get. Probably let me see. I'll give out one more horse. What else would be good? How about, the third race at Gulfstream? It's an allowance race on the turf going a mile and a 16th. Great betting race, really wide open. A real interesting horse in there is the 10 horse Pouquet Parfait, who has been primarily a dirt horse, has been on the turf a couple times. Its turf form doesn't look good, but it actually has some good excuses for those turf races. And now it's going second off a layoff on the turf. For Brendan Walsh, the post isn't great. That's the big negative, but it's 15-1 on the mooring line, and you might actually get that 15-1. So that's the other one, the 10 horse Pouquet Parfait in the third at Gulfstream, and the 9 Seducer in the seventh at Gulfstream. There's actually plays in every race, but maybe I'll tweet out some other horses I like during the day. This is a card that is just fantastic, to handicap and play. I think it's because all these trainers that were going to run horses at Keeneland can't, you know, or ship them to New York can't. So, and they probably won't be able to run anywhere after this weekend. So they're like getting all these good horses in, races in them, when they can, you know, there's horses like the Coma coming back and Network Effect and it just, it's a great card. So it's a lot of fun. I'm going to try to enjoy it as much as I can. I'll be betting with both fists on this one, taking a shot at the pick 6. Just should be a fun day. And then we'll see what happens after this weekend.
All right. Well, great talking to you about the races. I'm really looking forward to digging down and handicapping the rest of the card and spending a Saturday watching the races and watching the post drag. So we'll wrap it up. That will conclude show number 57 of the PH Pod. Good luck, everybody, this weekend, and please enjoy the Brooklyn Boogaloo Blowout.
Cheers.
Giddy up.